take your Bible and turn to John chapter 11. And I'll be in some passages tonight. It's going to be of a, we're going to look at some passages, but we're going to move around a little bit because it's sort of a topical message. And I don't know how many here tonight. I don't know. I know something about you, what you've shared with me, some in the prayer room tonight, some in the prayers tonight, some things were shared. I don't know all your backgrounds. I don't know all your families, and nor do I need to, because the fact of it is we're all human, and we all go through a lot of things, different times in our life. We also, all of us have loved ones that are not where they're not supposed to be. I dare say tonight, if I could ask how many tonight have a lost loved one, how many could raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I have a loved one that doesn't know Jesus." I guarantee you almost everyone here could raise your arm. Or if I said, does anybody here have a loved one that maybe is not in the will of God right now? They're not lined up with the way they ought to be. I dare say everybody could probably say that. I could. And so that is kind of the way I'm going to be tonight. I want to preach tonight on about that burden that you have for that lost loved one, or that person's living that broken life, or it might even be your neighbor. It don't have to be a necessarily loved one. Just someone around you, you know that their life's a mess. And you know, if they just hear the gospel and they could listen and they just come to Christ, what a great thing, what a great day and change that would be in their life. Amen. And so I'm going to try to do that, but I'm going to try to help you tonight as much as I can. John chapter 11, let's all stand tonight if you will. John chapter 11, and let's begin reading there. Verse number 31. The Bible says, "The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? Then they said unto him, Lord, come unto thee. And all you to know the shortest verse in the entire Bible, but what a powerful verse. The Bible says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. I want to look at verse number 34, and this will be our thought for tonight. Again, in verse 34, if you have a red letter Bible, the Bible says, Jesus said, Where have you laid him? And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Where have you laid him? Or if it's a her in your life, where have you laid her or them? Could be a whole family. Amen. And so that's what I want to preach on tonight. And I want to preach on from the aspect of there are several places that we can lay that burden, that person that's on our hearts down. There's several places, but I just want to walk there tonight with me. And just stay with me tonight. It's going to take a little time to develop, but hopefully if the Lord helps us, we'll get there. If I don't, he's a better preacher, and he'll be back on Sunday, and we'll be about our business. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for all that you've done for us this day, and I thank you for your kindness to us, and I thank you for these people. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that they would be willing to sit and listen tonight. And Lord, I pray some another, when we leave this place, we'll say we were better for being here. Lord, I pray you'd take this old vessel here tonight, and I pray you'd use me to help somebody here tonight. Maybe someone would realize that there's hope that they didn't think there's hope. Maybe someone would realize they need to carry that burden a little further. Whatever needs to be done, Lord, I pray that you'd work on somebody's heart tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. You can be seated. And so that is what Jesus says in this verse. We're reading along what's going on, and he just asks a question, where have you laid him? Where have you laid him? And that's important enough that it stood out to me the first time I read that. I thought, wow, that's pretty significant. If he said that, he wants to know, where do you lay your burdens down? What have you done with your Lazarus, if you will? Now, in verse number 33, of course, the Bible says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And so it bothered Jesus that they were in that kind of mode. The Bible says it troubled him. And the Bible says in verse 34, and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And I don't like what they said right there because they put it in a past tense. Do you notice what it said? Loved him. Behold how he loved him. As if Jesus only loves for some time and then that's in the past. But that's not the way Jesus loves. Amen? First of all tonight, we'll notice that what they had done, they had laid him in a tomb. The Bible says in verse number 3, backing up to verse number 3, therefore his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold him, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Then said Jesus unto, verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Now that would blow most of our minds right there. But Jesus said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe, nevertheless, let us go into him. Now, one reason someone will lay someone in a tomb is they have resigned themselves to the loss because they have limited God's design. And that's a lot of times what happens in our life. We don't see it going our way, or we don't see them making an immediate change, or we've tried it before and that didn't work. How many can say amen right there? We've went to an altar. We've been praying. Preacher, I've prayed from them. I've read scriptures. I've committed myself to it. And I just don't see anything happening. And a lot of times people will quit on the burden that they have and they'll lay it in a tomb because they do not understand. They resign themselves that they're a lost cause and they just give up on the design of God. Number two, look at verse number 6 with me. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, Lazarus, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. 2 days still. He didn't get in a hurry. And God don't have to get in a hurry for our sakes. Amen. We want to hurry up God, but God don't have to get in a hurry. Why? Because he knows what he's going to do. Amen. Boy, I'm glad he does. Amen. I'm glad he's in control. I rest at night on my pillow knowing God's in control. Boy, I'm thankful for that. Amen. Now, the Bible says in verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. That's what Martha said. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Verse number 32 said, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had died. Both Martha and Mary. Martha, who is many times very busy. Mary, that sat at the feet of Jesus. But both of them, when Lazarus died, had the same effect on both of them. And both of them said, oh, the Lord, if he'd just been here, if he hadn't been so distant away, he could have done this and he had not died. And yet we know it's the perfect design of Christ that he not be there. And in the Matthew chapter 8 and verse 8, and you say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I've resigned to the loss because I'm limited. We've limited God in distance. God can't reach all the way here to Craig, Alaska. Or God can't reach all the way to Texas. Or God can't reach all the way to North Carolina. Or God can't reach to California. I don't know where your loved one might be, your family member. I don't know where they are. But God can't do all the way down there. And a lot of times because we're not seeing it, we're not in the presence when God's doing it. We resign ourselves to loss because of the distance. And yet we find a centurion in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, that says, speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. Lord, I don't even need to be present. You don't need to be present. If you'll just say it, it'll happen. Amen. So it does. Number three, some people resign to loss because they limit God in death. The Bible says in verse 23 says, Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha, verse 24, said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection, last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. Now, I know what you're saying, but you need to understand, it's not a time, it's a person. The resurrection is a person. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he looks at her and said, believest thou this? I'm going to question you, Martha. I got a question, or Mary, I got a question for you. And Martha, I said, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that the life is in me, or do you not believe the life is in me? And so, you know, we know it is. In John chapter 11, verse 43, if you go on down the rest of that chapter, the Bible says, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I like this. Preacher said years ago, he said he had to call him by name because if he had just said, come forth, the whole graveyard would have got up. I believe he's got that much power, folks. I'll be honestly. And the Bible, notice what it says. He came forward, bound hand and foot. That means he didn't walk out of the grave. He didn't walk out of the grave because he was bound hand and foot. He must have just hovered out. That's the only thing I can say. He just come out. Amen. And the Bible says, and his face was bound with napkin. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Why didn't Jesus loose him? Because Jesus didn't bound him. By the way, if you're reading the scriptures, the Bible says that Jesus got there to that tomb and it says, roll the stone away. Now, we know that Jesus has the capacity to roll the stone away, and we also know that the angels rolled the stone away when he resurrected. That wasn't to let Jesus out, that's let us in. Amen? But in this case, Jesus did not roll the stone away. Why not? Because Jesus didn't put the stone there. And Jesus didn't put the thing that was between what he needed to do and what they were doing there. But in fact, they had put the trouble there. They had put the hindrance there. And God said, you get the hindrance out of the way, and I'll get business going. Amen. That's what he did. So some people lay their problems, their burdens in the tomb because you have resigned that they are a lost cause. But when you do that, you're not giving God do his name. You're not letting him do what he can do. Amen. Number two. I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 16. And I'll have to roll around some scripture tonight, move around a little bit, but I hope you'll listen. And I'll try to be as quick as I can. I'll keep it under 2 hours, I promise you. Luke chapter number 16. Somebody said, I got to go to work tomorrow. Luke chapter 16, verse number 20. Notice what it says. Luke 16, verse number 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, different one, named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And verse 21 says, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sore. Now, this one is laid differently. He's laid at the gate. But he's laid at the gate of a rich man. Why is he laid at the gate of the rich man? Well, some people have left someone else, someone else's, to be someone else's responsibility. Some brought him down there to that rich man's gate and left Lazarus there because they said, let the rich take care of him. And in our generations, that's happening today. Let the rich take care of him. Let them take care of it. Let them take care of it. And some people do that. And then in Acts chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried when they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. We know the story how Peter comes through and he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the Bible says he rose up and skipped and jumped and went on in the house of God. Amen. He's pretty happy about it. But again, in both cases, somebody let him down or laid him down to be somebody else's responsibility. The first one was laid at a rich man's gate. The second one was laid at a religious gate and said, let the church take care of him. Some people say, let the church take care of him. Let a religious organization take care of him. Let them take care of him. I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to take the responsibility. And so what made him a beggar was not that he was lame. What made him a beggar is where they was laying him down. You understand? What makes a loved one or a family a beggar, it's not that they don't have, it's that you let them down. You go laying them down somewhere where they ought not be laid down. You say, I'll just let the rich take care of them, or I'll let the religious crowd take care of them, I'll let some organization take care of them. In fact, America has bankrupt families nowadays with the effect of what families should be doing by the effect of paying off some other way. By handing out money and thinking that's the key to everything. And I'll tell you, I've done nursing home ministry for years, and I've seen people there in the ministry, there in the nursing home ministry, would give anything if their son would just come visit them. Or their daughter would just walk in and visit them. Just have a little compassion and say, you know what, I'm not going to just throw them there at the gate, but in fact, I'm going to take some responsibility about this. Amen. Psalms 37:25, David says, I have been young. Y'all know this. And now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. And so it wasn't that Lazarus was laid at, he wasn't begging because he was not saved or didn't love the Lord. He was let down by somebody. Yeah, the Bible says in Isaiah 41:17, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. And then Paul says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Amen. So what are you saying there, preacher? I'm saying, listen, don't lay somebody at the gate for somebody else to take responsibility to help them out. That's just letting them down. Number three, I got to move on. Some of y'all look like, uh-oh. Well, thirdly, look at this one. The Bible says in the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings, Acts, and Mark, I'll give you these four passages. There are some that lay them down in a bed to rest them for a while. The Bible says over in 1 Kings chapter 17, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you. It says in verse 19, he says, and he said unto her, give me thy son, this is Elijah, the widow's son, and he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And Elijah said, you know what? Here's a young man that's died. Here's a young man without breath. Here's one that's dying or dead. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to take him out there and push him by the gate. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take him and bury him in a tomb. He said, in fact, I'm going to take him up there and I'm going to lay him in an upper room. I'm going to put him on a higher plane. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 21, the Bible says, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. That's a Shunammite woman. And you know whose bed she laid him on? Elisha's. And the Bible says, and shut the door upon him and went out. And you know what she did? She went and got the man of God to come back. And when he came back, he went up there. And what happened? Well, he's raised up. Amen. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 37, and it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her up in the other upper chamber. That's Dorcas. And even in the book of, in the New Testament, we find here someone that is not just, hey, let's just take them down and bury them. Let's just throw them out by the gate and hope that works out. But let's take them up to, in fact, in all three cases, they took them up to a higher plane and laid them in a higher room, an upper room, and said, let's just wait and give God a chance to do something. In fact, Jesus even took it a little further. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5, verse 40, if you want to turn there, you can. Mark chapter number 5, verse 40, says this. Back up, if you don't mind, verse number 38. Well, I'll just read the whole chapter. Verse number 38. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeing the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And by the way, these were hirelings. They were, in that day, they were hire people to wail and to cry, and it was just a big show. Amen, a big show. And they wept with great. And when he was come in, he saith to them, why make ye this ado? I like that. Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And the Bible says in verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn. She's not dead, she just sleepeth. And that just tore them out of frame. And they begin to laugh at him. Laugh at him to scorn. So what does Jesus do? But, I like but in the Bible, B-U-T in the Bible, I like that because that's a holy conjunction. That means, all right, now watch what God's going to do. That's when God says, now watch this. But when he had put them all out, he took all that laughing, scornful crowd that says, it can't be done, she's a goner, she's done, this burden is finished, don't worry about them no more. And Jesus said, let's just put them outside. We don't need to listen to them anymore. And they don't need to see what I'm getting ready to do. They don't deserve to see it anyway. And they put them all outside the door. And notice what happens. What happens? But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered into the damsel where the damsel was lying. And the Bible says, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And that word damsel is the most beautiful way that a young lady can be addressed in the Bible. He says, young lady, I want you to come up with me. Young lady, I just want to take you by the hand. I want to lift you from where you are to a higher. You know what he did? Not only he didn't take her to an upper room, he took her to an inner room. And he says, you know what? I'm going to do something here that all the world says cannot be done. Matthew chapter 27, verse 13, he says, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. And then he says this in verse 14, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You said, preach us a lot. We've tried. We've done that. We've gone down that. We've experienced that. We've tried that. It hasn't worked for us. Wait on the Lord. But preacher, we need to hurry up and get about it. Wait on the Lord. And what I'm going to say this, and I don't mean this in a scornful way, but in simple terms, why don't you give God a chance? Why don't you just give God a chance to do what God can do? God's big. If I didn't believe them, I'd throw up the hands, quit the ministry. I mean, I'd give it up for a bad job. If I hadn't seen over and over and over in my life, in my Christian life, God just step in and do something that's just absolutely miraculous. I mean, God's real, folks. I mean, he's real. I mean, he's real. God is real. And if you'll just wait on him, he can do miraculous things. And in fact, the psalmist says this. He says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And then he says again, just in case you didn't get it, wait, I say, on the Lord. What's he trying to tell us? Wait on the Lord. Amen. So you find out here that some laid him in the bed, resting, till help got there. Amen. Don't be too quick. Don't be knee-jerk. You know, we live in a microwave religion. Amen. Throw it in, turn the thing, push the button, ding, and it's supposed to pop out. We want to put God like on a toaster. Boom. You know, God don't always work that way. Sometimes God is moving in people's lives and you don't even know what God's doing. Sometimes he's behind the scenes doing things that are so amazing when he does them. And you come around the corner and God just, you're like, wow, you look back and say, man, I'm sort of glad we didn't do what I was going to do. I'll tell you, even as a pastor, I've had times where I've looked back and I said, boy, I was a good boy. I was going to straighten it out. I'd straighten it out, all right. I made a mess of things. And they always told us, they told me in Bible college, my teacher in Bible college, and he's a preacher, he's been preaching 51 years, and he said this. He said, whenever something seems awry, somebody's got a problem, somebody blowing all up, so give it 24 hours and let God work on them a little bit before you try to fix it. I found out God could just, boy, he can wear somebody out. Anybody ever been worn out of God? Anybody, God ever took you to the woodshed and beat you real good? I mean, in a loving way. You ever spent all night long up trying to find the mind of God? If you ain't never done that before, I'll tell you something. But boy, it sure is good when it comes. I tell you one thing, it'd be better to give God an opportunity to be God. Amen. Don't just throw it on the tomb. Don't just throw them in a tomb. Don't just throw them in a gate. Lay them in a place up high and say, I'm just going to wait a little bit and see what you... I know everybody says it can't happen. I'm just going to wait and see what you're going to do. Fourthly, and I'll be done tonight. In Genesis chapter number 22, we get the great passage where Abraham is going to take Isaac. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 22, verse 9, they came into the place where the Lord had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, that to me is unfathomable to take your, and some of y'all might look and say, oh, that's no big deal. It is unfathomable for me to think of taking my only daughter and laying her on an altar and burning, cutting her, you understand this sacrifice that he was going to do. He had to slay his son, cut his son up in pieces, and then burn him on the fire. That's the sacrifice we're talking about here. It's not just slaying him and just burning. It's much more than that, folks. It's very, very bloody and very, very personal. All right? But what did God do on that? Before he laid him on an altar, what happened in his life? The Bible says in verse 2 that God said, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now that's what God told him to do. Now you got your Bible there open, Genesis 22, verse number 3. I want you to get this tonight, if you don't get anything else. If you think, preacher, that's the worst message ever, that's okay, but I want you to get verse number 3. The Bible says, verse number 3, and Abraham rose up, what's the word there, folks? Early. Early in the morning. No hesitation on Abraham's part. None whatsoever. No hesitation. And sat his ass and took of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clay the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. God had told him, but the Bible says he committed to what God had told him. And he did it early. He did it. When God told him, as soon as the opportunity was to do what God told to do, Abraham got up and did it. Amen. And I just wrote this down, that Abraham's sacrifice was a personal trust that God will do right. It was. And it's God test. God is literally testing Abraham. What will you do? Abraham will give you a test. What will you do? Now, he's not testing him to do evil. He's trying him to do good. That's what God does. He tries us not to do evil, but God will try us to do good. Let's see how good you'll be. That's what he does. Now, the Bible says in verse number 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And I love this phrase, and come again to you. And you almost miss that one. I and the lad are going to go up yonder, we're going to make this sacrifice. They don't know what the sacrifice would be. In fact, he had to leave them behind because truly, probably when he had begun to lay the fire down and begin to take out the knife and begin to set his son there, you know, they'd say, whoa, wait a minute. And they'd have probably hindered him from carrying out what he needed to do. So he left them behind. And he goes up on there and he says, we're going to go. We're going to make a sacrifice. Only he knew what it was, him and God. And we're going to come back. I want you to think about that. And as far as Abraham knows, when he leaves, he is going to climb that hill. He's going to prepare that wood. He's going to set up that altar. He's going to slay his son. He's going to cut his son up in pieces. He's going to light the fire. He is going to consume his son on that altar. And God is going to miraculously bring his son back to life. And they are coming back down that hill together. Because that's what he said. Isn't that what he said? And I, the lad, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And that's exactly what the book of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead from whence he had received him in a figure. And he says, I've already decided that I'm going to do what God said because God has made a promise to me. And he said that my seed is going to come from Isaac and it's going to spread throughout and it's going to be like the sands of the seashore. And so it has to happen because God has made a promise and now God has made a challenge. And the promise of God and the challenge of God are going to be intertwined and we're both coming down that hill together. That's profound, folks. You know what that is? That's testing faith. To say not only what God has promised, I believe, but God, what God has challenged me to do that may not seem what I would do is exactly what I am going to do because that is the perfect will of God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 22, verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and that's as far as he had to go. God was satisfied. The minute he reached out and he grabbed it, God said, that's enough. All I want to know, are you willing? You say, preacher, what are you saying tonight? I'm saying some people tonight, without a doubt, are going to take their burdens and they're going to lay it in a tomb and count it loss. I don't know who you hear tonight. I cannot be preaching this message to myself. Maybe some of you here tonight say, preacher, I've just marked it off a lost cause. I got a loved one. And it just seems like they're just gone. There's nothing that can happen. I want to say tonight, please don't lay them in a tomb till they're dead. You can do it in your heart. They can be living, and in your heart, you've already given up on them. This is not the first time I've preached this message. I preached the message one time before, and different message, different passage. But that night, we went in the prayer room tonight, and all the men in the prayer room were complaining about loved ones and brothers and sons and how they were just awry, and God was over. I was sitting in a corner saying, Lord, please don't let me mess this up. Please don't let me mess this up. Please don't let me mess this up. Because it is a common thread that all of us have loved ones that are broken. You say, oh, I don't. Come on. Let's just take our halos off tonight and say, hey, we've got some loved ones that ain't right. Come on. We've got some loved ones that aren't right. If we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll just give them up as a bad job. Throw them away and say, we're done with them. Some of us are not careful. What we'll do is say, well, preacher, I love them. I'm not going to count them as dead, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand them off to somebody else and let them take care of them. Let the rich or let the religious or somebody else, let them take care. Let the system take care of them. Maybe somebody here tonight will listen to me. Maybe you'll just take that loved one tonight and you'll find that place, a higher place, and just go up there and say, before I give up on them, I'm borrow my coat tonight and show you this. Before I give up on them, they look like a lost cause. I've tried, I've prayed, I've begged. I don't want to leave them to somebody else. They're mine. They're my loved one. I want to take them. I want to find a high place. I want to make a good place where they can lay. I'm going to step out. I'm going to wait and see what God will do. Some of you may even have to take the next level. You may have to take them and lay on an altar and say, God, they're all yours. In fact, ultimately, that's what we have to do with all our burdens. Because what do you say? Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Just lay all our burdens down at his feet and say, Lord, I'm willing to do my part. But I know I can't do so much. You're God. Can I just say that with me tonight? He's God. Can I just say that tonight? I'm just asking. Can somebody here just tonight right now, can you say he's God? No, I know. I know this is crazy. Pray. I don't do this thing. We do it. This ain't the way we do it up here. This night. Let me hear you say it. He's God.
He's God.
He's God. Everything he does well. Everything he does well. So I think what I'll do tonight is I'll give him a chance to do well one more time. I don't know what you got tonight. I don't know what loved one you got that's not right. Might be a daughter. Might be a son. Might be a grandchild. Might be a mama. Might be a daddy. Could be a grandpa, grandma. Could be a boyfriend, a girlfriend. Could be a neighbor. Could be a coworker. Surely, and all those lists right there, I just named, surely some of you have got somebody that you need to lay up for God and let God do something in their life. That you're going to say, God, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust you one more time. I'm going to trust you one more time. Because a lot of times what we do, folks, we just go about our lives and kind of I'm going to borrow you for a minute again tonight. Usually you're fine where you are. But it's like you're my burden tonight. And then sometimes we just get busy with life and we just kind of, we just don't, I know he's there, but, God, I'm raising a family and I'm working a job and, I'm pastoring a church and, I got a lot of things I'm doing and I know he's there. I know he's there. Maybe you just need to turn around and face that burden and say, I want to take responsibility. I want to lay them up. I want to let you do something. If this didn't help nobody tonight, I'm sorry. You got loved ones that are counting on you. God's entrusted them with you. God said they're yours. You say people are saying you can pick a lot of things, but you pick your family. That's true. You're born with them. You can't really pick all your neighbors. I mean, people come and go, right? You can't really pick who comes in your life. I mean, you're sitting there one day and all of a sudden Joe, and I don't know if y'all got a Joe, but Joe's there. And all of a sudden you look at Joe and Joe's life's a mess. You know what it is. He's an alcoholic. He's a drug addict. But all of a sudden Joe's in your life. And Joe is your responsibility. Joe is your responsibility. So like tonight, I want to echo this into your ears. What Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse 34. Where have you laid him? Where have you laid him? What are you doing about that burden? It's not that God can't do something. Oh, he can. Oh, he can. But a lot of times we just hinder him by putting a stone in the way. We can say, you know what, Mary and Martha... They said, oh, Lord, don't bother him now. By now, he stinketh. He said, you don't understand. If we do this, it's going to stink and it's going to stir up things and our hands are going to get messy and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, listen, folks, it's only their life that we're talking about. It's only whether they're going to know Christ as their personal Savior, whether they're going to be introduced to him. It's only where the gospel, it's only whether or not you're going to be obedient so God can do what he has already planned to do. But our disobedience, a lot of times, lets it get delayed and more things happen and worse things happen. And then the worst happened.